Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous bread habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Almost. It's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time.
All right, welcome back. This is going to be, I guess we're calling it a mailbag episode.
Yeah, we get questions. So we put a little box on Instagram and people submitted questions they've been wanting to ask us. And we are going to answer all the questions.
So this makes me feel like a celebrity.
I know, it's kind of fun.
Should we just get into it?
Let's get into it.
Is that too quick? We should do like some banter to begin with.
Sure. What's new with you? We already talked about the studio.
I know the problem is we've already recorded another episode, so like we've gotten right into it. I always think about that when I listen to podcasts, how good they are at like kicking things off and this, you know, when the guest is sitting there and they do their whole chat. We should make notes of culture things to catch up on.
True. Yeah. Or like, what's up with you? Any, you were talking about a facial?
What is up with me? Oh yeah. So I want to do facial balancing.
What is that?
Just like you, so I have an... You guys, I don't know if you can see, I have a massively asymmetrical face. Like,
do you?
This side, I think, it's like flat, and then this side has more volume. So I've been told that you can go get your face like facially balanced, and they'll do a mix of Botox. I'm not a big filler person, but like they would add a little, maybe kind of want lip injections. Is that crazy?
Yeah, I don't think you should do it. Yeah, you should do it.
I want someone to go and tell me, like, I'm going to do a little, like, lift here. Like, this is how I'm going to make this side of your face look so flat.
Okay.
What do you think about that? Am I going crazy?
No, I think that sounds interesting, but
You have a very symmetrical face. Like, this is a struggle you've never had to have.
Well, but I think that when you start putting stuff in your face, like filler and stuff like that, to make your face look symmetrical, that's when it can go very wrong.
Yeah, I know. I agreed. It's like, it just, I know.
I think the problem with filler is that it can go wrong very quickly.
Yeah. And also, I do think you lose perspective so quickly. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of completely losing perspective on what I look like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think lip filler is tricky because I don't think
I want I want the little lip flip.
The lip flip. I just don't think you need it.
I have very thin lips.
I think you have normal lips, actually. I think that's a problem. Now, because lips are huge, we think a normal size lip is a small lip, and it's not. So
I'm going to say this is your fault. You wanted these damn cameras. They're killing me.
I'm like, I need to put that like Kris Jenner filter.
I need
the Kardashian filter.
Yeah, we should ask these studios what their beauty filter situation
is. We should.
Because I'm like, actually like needing something.
Yeah, like what would you put
on a Kardashian? Okay, I'm noticing my skin is see-through. So I want something that just gives me foundation. You can see veins
I put foundation every day. Well, not every day. Just when you record and then that's it. But actually for a new podcast studio that we're going to launch.
For our new hustle.
We can ask people, do you want the Kardashian filter or not?
Yeah.
Do you want the South Korea filter?
And this is how you know women filter, launch it, not men.
Yeah. South Korea filter. Like it looks, and they're like, what does that mean? It's like, it looks like you just came back from South Korea. With like a new face.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I want that
too. I want a lot of tucks in this region. Okay, all right, let's get into it.
Let's do it. Okay, so we have some questions. People submit it, so we'll go through them and answer them. The first one's actually really fun. Fuck, marry, kill. New York, Paris, London.
Okay, I'm going to be honest, guys. I haven't looked at any of these, so I'm excited because I haven't think for a second.
Yeah, I looked at them because I put them on the doc, but I haven't really like thought about
Danny
them.
Danny produced this one.
Yeah, so okay, so fuck, marry, kill, New York, Paris, London.
Not gonna like this.
I think we're gonna have the same answer. Let's see.
What should I start with?
Fuck.
Who? Fuck New York.
Okay. Mary.
London.
Kill.
Paris.
Okay. I like it. I'm almost there with you, except
I think I know what yours is gonna be.
I'm gonna marry New York. I'm gonna fuck London, and I'm gonna kill Paris.
That's
no.
Oh, marry
you.
New York.
Fuck New York. I married it.
I've never been hornier than in New York.
No, I agree. I think New York is more fuckable, but I just want to be with New York forever.
Yes, I get that. Okay.
So
that's
why
I want to be in a never ending situationship with New York.
Yeah, like a toxic relationship back and forth. Hey, you up? And it's New York.
Okay. This one is kind of like, we get this question a lot.
All the time.
Got it. My answer is never satisfactory, but how do you make friends in Paris?
As an immigrant / expat. They actually ask as an expat.
TikTok. Have it go viral.
Go viral.
Then become friends from it.
I think being on social media And I think two things. If you don't want to be on social media, though, it's the easiest way to meet people. Being on social media and following all the other Americans in Paris and just like creating a relationship with them, even if it's just online. And then when you build up the courage to be like, hey, do you want to get a coffee? Then DM them that, I think.
And just accept that like not everyone's going to respond right away.
Yeah, yeah.
People have established lives and friends. Yeah. Like be patient. It's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
You know?
And don't be discouraged if they don't answer. Yes. So I would say that. And then if you don't want to do it online, go to things like, I don't know, like events or workout classes. And if you hear someone speaking English, be like, hey, I heard you speak English.
Yeah. Workout classes here.
Yeah. I've never experienced that, but I've been in classes where I hear another person speak English and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I wonder where they're from, but I just never approach them because I'm too shy. Like, I'm like, I feel like I'm very vulnerable when I'm working out. It's not the place for me to be like, hey girl, where are you from?
Especially some of these ones where everyone walks out. Yeah. Like, and the spin ones where they're all like tiny in these little black outfits.
And, yeah.
Like, no one wants to talk to me.
But it could be nice if you hear someone speaking English and you're like, hey, I heard you speak English. Where are you from?
Yeah.
So
I will say, I think it's way, way easier to make friends here.
Yeah.
And I think people get intimidated because they think you need to make friends with other cultures. No, I'm not going to lie. Making friends with French people, that's very hard.
That's impossible.
But that's impossible. So don't even pretend that that's going to happen. But making friends with expats is actually easy. People, you have a lot more in common. You have a built-in commonality, which I think is nice. So that, and I also will say, you want to know my pet peeve, because I'm in a complaining mood. My pet peeve is I don't like when people say, I can't make friends, but I refuse to use social media.
Oh, well, yeah.
I just think like sometimes you got to play the game.
Well, and, my pet peeve is, I agree. Oh, I hate when people are like, I can't make friends. And you're like, hey, do you want to go to this thing? And they don't answer you.
Oh. Yeah, we've had that happen a lot.
Yeah. So to me, I'm like, well, do you really want to be friends?
Yeah. That they don't have friends.
Well, that's a, well, not name names. Anyway, moving right along. Okay. What long-term trade-offs do you think about in terms of settling in France?
Good one.
That's a good one.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be settling in France, but I have been here 6 years. So I guess that's fair. I would say stranger energy, as you guys know, I'm obsessed with. I would say fun grocery stores, except for Grande Pizzerie. Like, you're going to get the basics. You're not going to have a popcorn aisle. So you're going to sacrifice that, which if that's as important to you as it is to me, pay attention. And guys, I don't know, Danny, this is controversial for you because you're married to a French man, but.
French man.
Fun dating.
Yeah.
So, dating stopped being fun.
But is it fun in New York? Because all my friends in New York are having a really tough time.
I had fun, but did I have fun because I was in my 20s and I think didn't want anything?
Yeah. Because my friends in New York are struggling to even get a text back.
But do they even have fun dates?
I don't even think you make it to the date anymore.
Really? Yeah. Everyone cancels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know. Again, I think... not me defending Frenchmen. I think
it's okay. You're married to one. You have an excuse.
Yeah, but I met him in New York, so maybe that's the loophole.
Yeah, a lot of our friends actually met their French husbands not in France, though.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just being away from like friends and family. Like, especially now that I have a baby.
Yeah.
So that's, I feel, a big trade off. But also, like, you get to meet a lot of new friends, and you know, so it's like. Yeah, being away from and like far away. Like, you can't just hop on a plane and be there in 2 hours.
No, I realize that because my sister, well, she's upstate now, but she was in New York and she would go home so often.
Yeah.
And I didn't go home as often when I lived there, but I realized it's like a 2-hour flight. Like, it's way easier. It's a whole thing to get
back. It's a whole production. It's expensive and it takes a lot of time. So, yeah, I think being away from friends and family is like a big trade-off. But then the good thing is like you do also make new friends here. So it's not like you don't have anyone.
Well, there's always trade-offs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I have a couple others. I mean, there's definitely, like, I really miss a lot of the, like, so I was just in New York, and I feel like I was a celebrity. Like, I'm walking up and down the street, and then even in Wisconsin, everyone's like, where did you get that? Where is that from? You look so cool. Why are you wearing these? And here it's just, there's no, like, we talked about this before, there's no compliments.
Well, I miss a compliment. And the last time I was in New York, I think I told you within like 3 hours of me being in New York, I got like 3 compliments from strangers.
It's so fun.
I do miss that.
And then it's like an opening for chat. So you're going to give up compliments as well. I guess, like, on that note, the other question we got was, this is a huge question.
Yeah, I know.
How is the change from New York to Paris? Are you happy? Whoa. Who asked that?
I don't know. Forgot. I'll start if you want.
Yeah, you go ahead.
It's a big change. It's a big change and it isn't at the same time. So it's a big change culturally for sure for many reasons. And if you want to know more specifically, listen to the 27 episodes we've recorded. But I think the biggest change, and I think we've talked about this a lot, is the lifestyle. And I think I was just like constantly stressed in New York, on the go, doing something, like feeling like I wasn't doing enough. Like there was this weird thing that I felt like I was never kind of catching up to what you're supposed to be. Like the energy was crazy in New York, and I do miss the crazy energy, but I do think the energy in Paris allows you to be more relaxed.
Yeah.
And so I like that about Paris. I miss the creative energy and the frantic energy that New York brings. But I also think when you're in your 20s, that's fine. Even in your early 30s, but at one point you're just like, you're going to burn out.
Yeah, I want it in doses. This is what I've realized. Like, I'm very okay going back a few times a year. I want to go back for longer. So like, I think going back for 2 weeks a few times a year is really fun.
Yeah.
But to have it all the time, it literally indulges my mental illness.
That's it's almost like a drug. Like, you need a hit every once in a while, and then you get it, and you're like, wait, I'm good. I'm okay coming back to Paris
now. And then
I actually
appreciate Paris a lot more.
100%.
Like, I was last week, even though it rained every single day, I was like really in a nice mood because I was like, oh, I appreciate being back here.
Yeah. And I think, are you happy? I personally am happy because I was able to have a really interesting, stressful job for 4 years here. And I was able to walk away from that job. And like, now I'm just taking my time to figure out my next step. So I'm happy because I am able to do that. And I don't think I would be able to do that in New York. No. And I think that's the one thing, the reason I'm happy, or I mean, the biggest change is like, I don't have to be stressed here all the time, which in New York, I was getting panic attacks, anxiety. I was in therapy, like all these things that I only encountered in Paris when I was in a very high stress job.
Right.
Which was like the little bit of New York.
And it was easy to diagnose what was causing it versus it being like, it's just like everything.
And I think I was able to walk away, which in New York, I don't think I could have.
Financially.
So that I will say I am happy because I feel like I can have a healthier lifestyle here.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's the difference? And are you happy?
How was the change from New York to Paris? First question. I would say, I think I said this on another episode we recorded, but for me, it was like this like ego death situation.
Yes.
Like I absolutely, everything I thought I knew about myself, I had to recalibrate. And I say that very seriously. Like I kept, there are all these things that I thought I was like, I thought I got along with people really well. I thought I was really good at communicating. I thought I was like likable, you know? And then I came here and all of that was out the window, which like when I have a job that's based on human relations, it was very disconcerting for me to realize I'm actually not that great with all people. I also realized that the things that I thought were, we talked about this, were my personality, were actually just my culture. Like I actually don't know how nice I am. I'm Midwestern, but like deep down, how nice am I? I also don't know how, you know, the five personality traits, like amenability, like it's like how amenable you are.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I am. I think I'm actually not that much, but moving here made me confront the difference between personality and culture. So how was it? It was a very big shakeup.
Yes.
And also it was during COVID, so it was its own
journey.
So that was hard. And it's really hard doing stuff on your own because no one's there to gut check things with you so that was like hard.
Yeah.
So how was it? Yeah, disconcerting, but then empowering because I literally, this is the stupidest reference, but I always think of the Phoenix in Harry Potter that like burns and then like regrows. And that's how I feel. Like you talked about this on another episode, this idea of like when everything kind of crumbles, there's like a little bit of a rebirth, a reincarnation, and you get to start to rebuild things intentionally. So that's been cool.
100%.
I feel happy with who I am. I think Paris sometimes brings out a very irritable side of me because I think people aren't super warm to strangers.
Okay.
And I've noticed I really like, you know, I'm going to spend January in Rome. Yeah. I just got back from New York. I was also in Wisconsin. I think it's important for me. I'm learning if I'm going to stay here longer
to move around.
Yeah, my life with other cities. Yeah. So I don't feel that irritability. And so that I can almost bring my openness back here without letting the city decide for me how I'm going to interact socially.
Do you find Rome and Italians much warmer?
So far. I've spent quite a bit of time there, but not enough to say that I like know what it's like to live there.
Yeah.
But I would say there's just a little bit more of an openness. There's more laughter. And I found myself much less irritable.
Okay.
Now, I've often been on vacation
while
I'm there. So I want to make sure that like I acknowledge what it's like when it's different.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is American in Paris, 3 do's and don'ts.
Well, I think we agree on the first one, which is like, do you have to say bonjour?
Yeah, you have to.
It's so
bonjour
weird.
And merci. Like say hello and thank you.
And when you leave a shop, be like, au revoir, merci, bonjour.
Never go into any place and ask a question. You have to say hello first. Otherwise, you're dead to them.
That's such a weird thing to have to learn, but it's true.
Yeah, because in the States, we're like, hey,
yeah,
where can I, whatever, where's the bathroom?
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, can I have this? And here, if you don't say hi first, they get mad at you. Also, I told you, when I go to the US, I literally leave a shop. I'm like, bye, everyone. Have a nice day. And they're like, fuck what? Off, get out of here.
Well, yeah, it's so funny because it's like French people are very polite. They're not necessarily very nice, but they're very polite. So they'll always say hi. Sure. You walk into an elevator, hello. They say hello. And when you get off the elevator, they say, have a good day.
Yeah.
And that was very shocking to me.
I feel like you don't really talk to strangers.
No. And I mean, especially in New York, you're like, I'm wearing my headphones. I'm not interacting with anyone.
Do you ever notice like in the doctor's waiting rooms, like when someone will come, like I'll be in the doctor's waiting room and someone will walk in and go bonjour to everyone in the waiting room.
Yeah,
that's like unhinged to me.
Everyone says hi to everyone. Yeah. Like you walk into a space and it's like not weird for this random stranger to be like, hello. And then when you leave, have a good day. And you're like, so a do is say hello and say thank you or goodbye. Another do is I would definitely think, I mean, you don't have to speak French, but you should at least try like say a word or two.
Yeah.
I think because I've seen it happen in real time and I was like, oh my God, this is why everybody hates Americans. Like one time.
It's pretty simple. We can all learn hello, goodbye, thank you.
Yeah. And you think, and I don't know if it's because people are a little more vulnerable because they're not in their country and they're a little more like on edge. But at one time I was like outside of a bar. And there was like these three American men taking a picture outside of the bar. And I was like on my phone waiting for the Uber. And they was like, can you move? I'm taking a picture. And I looked at this man like, first of all, you don't know if I speak English.
Yeah.
Second of all, I'm outside of a restaurant. Like,
this is my city. This is not my.
You could say like, hi, excuse me. Do you mind if we take a picture real quick or something? Like, there's like a nicer way. And so to me, I was like,
that
okay.
was a really unique American.
I know. Well, there was like a really fancy whiskey bar. So they were definitely like that type of American, like entitled, annoying. But that same group walked into the bar and was like
hi, can I
no, they just sat at a table.
Oh, wow.
They didn't even ask to be seen. They just, and to me, that was like, oh my God, this is why they hate us.
Yeah.
So I would say, don't be an entitled American. Yeah. Wait for people to sit you. If someone's in your shot.
That's actually quite confusing here.
It could be, yes.
It can be confusing. My rule now is like, I'll usually try to gesture to the waiter.
Yeah.
And like, if it's really crowded, I'll sort of go like this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll point to the table.
Yeah.
And usually they'll just nod. But they do like usually to be the filtration system before you sit down.
I think you should, you need to have some sort of like, like contact with the waiter. And sure, maybe they'll be annoyed if you ask to be seated, we like just sit. But I'd rather them be annoyed at me because I'm asking for their help than
you didn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I find them to be more rude when you just sit in a place because they're like, who told you can sit here?
Once, we've talked about this, I know. But in terms of do, like, don't try to do a French person's job for them. So like, don't try to move the chairs at a restaurant.
Yes. Okay.
At your table. Or if like, I've really... In the US, so for example, again, I'm thinking of a doctor's office. If you're there and you're like, I have all the documents, they're right here, I did all this work.
Right.
They get annoyed by you. You just hand them over and be quiet.
Yeah.
They get annoyed by this like eager American, like, let me do it for you.
Let me help you.
And someone just said to me once, and I always think about it, it's because they're so precious about their jobs here.
Because
they
makes
stay
sense.
In them so long.
Yeah.
So they really don't want you stepping on their toes. And ever since I've learned that, it's actually changed the way I think about an interaction.
Interesting.
Grocery store too. I got in a huge encounter like a year ago because she couldn't find the weight of an item.
Okay.
And I was like, I'll just go do it. I'll go weigh it. And she was so, and she goes, Madame, patiente. She was like annoyed at me. And I was like, there's like 10 people behind you.
Okay.
I'm literally trying to help you. And she was annoyed that I
you were trying
to
yeah.
help because I think it's like this. Yeah, this preciousness over her job.
That brings me to another do, practice patience. That's the number one lesson living in Paris has taught me is you just have to be patient sometimes. And I think I've talked about this before. I think one of my first days in Paris when I have just moved here, it was COVID. So everything was sort of closed. There was no one in the streets. We stopped by a coffee shop to get coffee to go. And the lady took literally 15 minutes for one coffee. And I was like, what is going on? And I had nowhere to be. I was just like, why is she taking 15 minutes? And then I realized... I'm not in a hurry. Yes, 15 minutes is insane, but it's okay. I can wait. And I think, like you said, if you push them to go faster or be more efficient, it's just going to backfire.
Yep.
So sometimes you just have to like take the L and be like, I'm gonna have to be patient.
And also learn how to fill that time. I have a line I say to myself. I go, it's still my time.
Yeah.
Like just because someone else is making me wait doesn't mean I can't fill that with like New York Times games, vintage shopping, checking my email, listening to a podcast.
I
like, it's still mine. You didn't get to take my time from me. It really helps me.
I try not to get annoyed unless I'm actually in a hurry and I have to be somewhere.
That's a whole different scenario.
Yes. But I try to be like, am I actually in a rush or is this just like how we're built. Yes. That we're like, we must be.
Well, then you go back to the US and they're like, how was the first bite?
Yeah.
How was the second bite?
Exactly.
How was the third bite?
Like,
it's going great.
Like, would you like another drink?
Oh my God. You're like, there's like half the drink left. Yeah. Can I top you off? Can I have something left? I just,
and you're like, every time you fill my drink, you're charging me $5.
Oh my, yeah. Also, yes. At least. Just like money per, yeah.
Okay. So how about three don'ts?
Can I just repurpose the other one?
Sure.
Don't try to do their job for them.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Don't be passive aggressive. I think just say what you want. Like, yeah. I'm really trying to be better about this. I think I told you I got in my first airplane fight.
No, I did not.
Because I just said what I wanted. I told the guy not to put his seat back. He had a kid and I said, don't put your seat all the way back. And he got in a fight with me, but he was American. And I actually think it was a French person. That would have been like, it would have been like just a blunt conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm really trying to enter this era of just French people don't skirt around it.
No.
They'll say, don't do that. I don't like that. I don't want that. Like, you don't say, no merci, mais merci, c'est très gentil, mais merci. You just say, no merci. Like, I don't like skirt around stuff. I think they respect you more when
That's true.
Meet them level.
It's true. I watched like, I think it was like a TikTok or some video online where like they were saying how British people are so like polite. They're like, hello, excuse me, if you have the time, can you please give me the check? That would be so nice. I think they were comparing I think they were comparing it to Spanish people where they're like, yeah, like just give me the check. And it's so funny.
Yes,
how,
I saw that too.
Yeah. And it was like Spanish people are like very direct. They're like, la cuenta. They're like, give it to me. You know, like the check. They don't even ask you, hello, how are you? Can you please, if it's not too much trouble, where like, I think Americans and British people are very like over polite.
So over.
And they're
top.
Like, hello, excuse me, if it's not too much of a hassle for you, even though it's your job.
Literally coming from the US and specifically the Midwest, it is weird if I don't start my sentence with sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You have to, especially
sorry to
with
bother
service.
You.
Sorry. Yeah. Every single sentence starts with sorry. So not doing that here is
I know. Just being like the check.
Yes.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And then I would say the last don't is I this is like a hard one because I don't agree with it, but I have noticed it, especially when I'm in groups of Americans, like not that you should like,
loud.
Yeah, censor yourself by any means, but there's a time and place for everything. And like, I have been next to tables where I'm like, and actually French people can get very loud
when
and that's
drunk.
When they're drunk. Yes. And it's so obnoxious. I would say like, avoid being the obnoxious American if you must. I mean, I remember one time we were at a Mexican restaurant called Fajitas. So just by the name, you should know it's a loud environment and you shouldn't complain. And we were like a table of like 13 American, Canadian, maybe British. I can't remember who was there, but we were loud. But again, we're at a place called Fajitas drinking frozen margaritas. This is
pictures,
not a place. This is not a place of, this is not a quiet space.
Yeah.
So in that case.
Did we get yelled at?
Remember, people were staring at us, like
this happened
staring
to me last night.
At us.
I didn't even think I was being that loud. And then my friend left and I realized like,
you were like
whole
screaming.
Bar was looking at us. I was like, oops.
So, I mean, and that's only if you don't want to all the attention to yourself.
I think it's a generally good rule, but I'd say that for anywhere. But I agree
true.
With you. Loudness, I think.
Obnoxiousness.
Yeah, I think there's a pushiness that we have
a
lot that isn't well received here. So I'd say as much as you can sort of like take a breath.
Read the room.
And like
lead
back a little bit.
Read the room and see what you have to do. But
okay,
next one. What's your next Holy Grail vintage purchase?
Ooh, okay. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm specifically looking for.
What
right
are you looking
now.
For?
And then I went and looked for it, and then I bought six other things that decidedly were not that. I'm really looking for a wool coat.
Okay.
Like a really warm one.
Okay.
I want either 100% wool or I'll do a mix of cashmere or alpaca.
Okay.
And I want it to be long.
Okay.
And I want it to be a neutral color. So I'm thinking brown or gray.
Okay.
And beige is a little bit too light because there's a lot of Max Mara ones on Vinted.
Okay.
And that's it. It's just really hard because I'm 5'8", and it's really hard to find when, like, been asking all the people for the measurements of the coats.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stylish ones are not
are short.
They're not good materials.
Okay.
But then the good materials are, like, really, like, old school.
Okay.
It's so crazy because, side note on this, if you guys look for winter coats, most of the ones in modern stores are a very small percentage of actual wool.
Yeah.
And then you go on Vinted and you can truly find like 100% wool.
And they're not that expensive.
They're not that expensive.
Yeah, I agree.
No, wait, what are you looking for? Like, do you have a specific brand or item?
I really want like a real leather black tote, like a mom bag that doesn't look like a mom bag.
Okay.
I currently have one that's like a normal new one. It's not vintage, but I want like a distressed, but like a worn leather tote that I can just throw all my shit in. That
cool.
still
do you
looks
want to
cool.
have pockets and stuff?
It doesn't have to, but if it does have pockets, That's cool. Okay. I just wanted to look cool. Like, it's been worn a few times. So not like pristine leather, but still like real leather. Right. And I think probably black or brown.
Okay.
And something I could just like wear forever.
Yeah.
So like a cool leather tote.
Love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That can't be too hard. I feel like Italy has the best leather stuff.
Oh, the best. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you recommend to someone looking to start a side hustle?
Oh my God. Oh. This is like a difficult one. Because I feel like I've tried to start a side hustle a million times. I would say just do it. Yeah. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything like sorted out. Because I think a lot of people are like, I need a logo. I need a branding thing. I need like all these things. And it's kind of almost an excuse to not do the thing.
Yeah.
So I would say just do it even if it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Just
it's like start. Definitely better done than perfect.
Yes.
I was even thinking about us, like, I mean, to get tactical. We're in a studio now with mics, yeah. But we bought our own mics.
Yeah.
And I've been editing on GarageBand. And like everything we did was totally homemade.
We were recording at in my living room.
Yeah. Like just accept to me, we're talking to stuff like before we were successful.
It's now
like,
that
before
we're.
We got $2 from ads on Spotify.
us and Joe Rogan were killing it. Top of the charts.
But still, I think like, I just like think like it's not the final stage. Like, it's not the final stage of the product when you start. Like, it doesn't have to be fully formed.
No.
Because I think the notion that it'll ever be fully formed is crazy.
Yes.
I also love this piece of advice from Ira Glass, which I think we've probably also spoken about. But he said, a lot of people who are creative have a vision, which means you have some sort of taste for mm-hmm. what you want. But almost always when you start a creative project, your vision, your taste is going to be way more sophisticated and higher quality
than what you're doing. Ability. Yeah.
And he said the mistake most people make is that because you can't achieve your vision, you quit.
You quit, yeah.
But the thing to know, like I think about this, I studied my film editing. Like I think about this, like everything looks so bad. But I'm like, of course it did. I was a college student.
Yeah.
And if I had just given myself the grace to say if I keep working on this, which brings me to my second point, which I think is stop quitting things.
Yeah, I
like,
know. That's a hard
I
one.
I quit. Everything.
Me too.
I start.
I'm such a quitter.
Million, same. And I start a million things, which I will say, like having another person you're accountable to that you can't just be like, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore is I think somewhat important.
Yeah. I think that's another good one. Like if you can join some sort, I know some people do this, like accountability groups.
Right. Oh, cool.
And that's it's like, cool. It's like it could be a group chat or it could be an email thread or whatever with like a few people that are all starting things and kind of have these people hold you accountable when you say, my goal is to have 5 podcast episodes by the end of the year so they can like hold you accountable. So maybe join one of those
with your friends.
Cause I think that is the same thing. I mean, I have a Substack that has been dormant. To be fair, I was pregnant, but that's really not an excuse. That I'm like, oh my God, I need to like start writing again.
I know. And it's really hard. And it's really hard to be accountable to yourself.
It's really hard. Yeah.
I think having some sort of system is so nice.
Yeah. And just doing it, like you said, it's not going to be perfect at the beginning, but for us, like we did 22 episodes in my living room.
Well, I said
and
they're the there. Day, they're like, how many episodes do you think when I first came, I think this place or another place, I think they asked you how many to say like 2.
And we're like 22.
And I was like, and they're like, oh, so it's real. Like it's real.
Yeah.
The last thing I will say, and this to me is actually the most important, is it's going to be embarrassing. Like,
yeah.
I think inherently putting yourself out there in any creative way is embarrassing if you're someone who cares about quality and cares about taste and really likes the way other people do things. Like, this for me is cringe. Like, to see myself on camera to do this is like really hard for me, but I just tell myself, you have to try things in life or nothing happens.
Yeah, but it's also, it's cringe at the beginning, but then the moment you get like one piece of positive feedback, you're like, okay, it's worth it. Because with us, the same thing, when our friends, like I went to a dinner with like a bunch of our friends here, and like, oh my God, I love the last episode. And like 3 of them were talking about it. And I'm like, you guys listen to this? And it's so weird because it's like, it's our friends. Of course they would listen. But it's,
I'm always shocked too.
Yeah, but something about the notion of them being like, oh my God, I loved it. It was so good. It felt like I was like listening to a private conversation. And they were just like talking about our podcast for like 10 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, stop. I was like, stop, I don't want to hear it. And it's like so weird, but it's true that it's like, it is very cringe, but it's also very rewarding.
And learn what you've been like giving this advice. I literally don't know. We don't know what we're
like, I quit everything.
But
so
I do think one thing I'm psychologically realizing is like, learn your tolerance for cringe and then like what you need to look for exactly like you're saying to quell it. Like, I pay attention a lot to, you know, other Substacks, other podcasts, and I really look for other people who are at our level.
Yeah.
You know, like I sort of look for like, okay, I'm going to feel cringe and then I'm going to listen to an episode of this podcast and like, they clearly didn't plan that out.
Yeah.
They, you know, like something where I'm like, you know what? We're not doing so bad compared to the
landscape. Look at all the men who have podcasts.
That's it.
They shouldn't.
Amy Poehler said on her, what did she say? The one with Ina Garten. She's like, something I like to do. Oh, she goes, they're like, how did you get the motivation to do something? And she's like, you know, something I like to do is watch stupid people do things.
Yes.
Because she's I mean, they can do anything. And then I don't feel so bad for having done
it. Listen, after my stint in corporate France, I realize a lot of idiots have really high paying jobs that they should not. So why can I be a podcaster?
That's it. You know? Look, find ways to alleviate your cringe so it doesn't become overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, cringe and embarrassment. Like you have to look for me, I have to look for tools, positive reinforcement, getting good feedback from a friend, seeing other people doing it much worse and being successful. I'm like, okay, fine. You know?
Yep. Okay, but cool. Just do it anyway. Next one.
This is hard. Favorite spots in the Fifth Arrondi
store. That is hard. I would have to open my map.
Yeah. Can I do Fifth and Sixth?
So you live in the Fifth, though. You don't have like a local.
Because no one ever comes to hang out with me.
Well, you never invite us.
True.
You should plan. You should plan like a.
I was so bad. Come to the Fifth.
Come to the Fifth tour day. Yeah.
So I really like Rue Mouffetard. I think that's obvious.
Which one?
Rue Mouffetard is just like a shop. It's okay. Like cheese, meats. Mm. If you want to just go for a walk, it's cheese, meats, wine shops, some takeout food. You go to Place de la Contrescarpe and then walk down Rue Mouffetard. You can stop over at the Pantheon. It's just a nice little browse. There's a woman-run wine bar called Les Flacons. Mm. That's really cool.
Oh, I think I've been there.
It's cute. And two women run it. I like to shout them out. Really good wine. And they're so sweet. Like really nice customer service in France. Like they'll really, if they can't find you a seat, they'll really try to make it work. Like,
okay.
They're very accommodating. I'm trying to think of like what else I do in the film.
Have you been to this place called Rotisserie Segar?
Oh my God. So that's what we got all Thanksgiving the other night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grace told me about it. But she told me about it in the context of they make a Caesar salad sandwich.
They apparently make. I know. And I haven't had it.
Okay. I have it
bookmarked. So it's on Rue Mouffetard.
Okay.
That's where this is. I've been with my ex. I had the roasted chicken and they have really good like sides. Like
okay.
She got this thing the other day that was like a chicken dip. It was... Danny, it was so insane. It was like shredded chicken and it was like in the jus, but just in a bowl. And we just were dipping Lay's potato chips into it.
Love.
It was insane.
They've
blown up. It's crazy.
So yeah, I discovered it because of Grace and I want to go and get that sandwich. So maybe I'll text you one day and be like, I'm going to the Fifth.
Go.
I'm going to the Fifth.
Yeah. So okay. I think that street's the best. Like there's other, like there's cute bistros.
Yeah.
I feel like on the spot, I should have looked this up before.
I'm looking at my map. It's like technically not the Fifth, but it's border with the Fifth, but Levant Comptoir. We went together where they put the huge butter.
That's where I went yesterday.
Oh, there you go. It's technically, I think
it's technically the Six.
But it's like on the border.
Yes. Went last night. I'll recommend that because they have a huge amount of butter.
Love.
Immediately you walk in.
Yeah.
You get a mound of butter. By the way, this is free. Free bread. The bread is cut. Yesterday I had it so thick.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So good.
I
then
love
you
that place.
Get like onion, like it's for like, they'll have a bunch of toppings for oysters. If you go, there's a huge jar of pickles. So you can get unlimited pickles.
Love.
And then you go up and you get a glass of wine. So for one glass of wine, you get free bread, free butter, free pickles.
And all the tapas are really good.
Yeah. I think they're a little overpriced, but they're good.
I remember them having good fries, like weird.
Really?
Yeah, like not like typical fries. I can't remember, but it was
maybe
really good.
Because there's L'Avant Comptoir de la Mer and was,
yes, there's a.
So there's like an ocean wine.
Land and
Yeah. And then you also mentioned Otto to
Surf
me.
And Turf.
One. So Otto is really good. It's
I have never been, but I have it bookmarked.
I've been a lot actually, and it's really good.
Okay.
Again, a bit overpriced, but it's a lot of small plates, but the small plates are delicious.
Is that American place technically? Is that the Six? What's it called? Tres?
Oh, by Trees. The park. Yeah. I call it Trees. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. It is good.
I don't think that's the Fifth, but I like
that
place.
Six as well.
It's really, it's really good, but it's, I also think it's a little overpriced. I think that like I remember like the orange juice was like €9.
Really?
And I was like, ugh. But the food is really good.
What's the American place I go to all the time?
The Breakfast in America?
Yeah. Oh, Breakfast in America.
Yeah. I like
that's also on the Fifth.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's fun.
I like Breakfast in America too.
I enjoy it there. Okay.
Okay. So the next question, how did you two meet and become friends?
God, everyone asked me this.
I know.
Like I get asked it like at every dinner I'm at.
TikTok.
Well, we saw each other's TikToks and then I think we said, let's hang out and we hung out.
Well, actually a few people that know you texted me, like friends of friends were like,
overlap too.
Yeah. And they're like, you should be my friend Gabby. She also lives in France. And then we were like already Instagram friends, I think. And then we're like,
okay,
let's get a drink.
We were just saying we met up at, Hardware
Cafe. Hardware Society. Yeah. Which close. RIP.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. That is how we met. So by the way, anytime someone says, go back to that thing, like, I don't use social media. I refuse. I'm like, then honestly, good luck, but then you're going to have to hustle.
Yeah.
It means you're going to have
to hustle. No, because I remember when I moved here, I literally put it on my Instagram, like, I need friends. And people were like, my friend.
It actually works. Otherwise, you're just going to have to be really good at WhatsApp and someone saying, like, hey, do you want to hang out? And, like, follow up with, I have a couple friends who are really good at this, but you can't, like, sit on your laurels and expect to meet friends and then, like,
and you have to put work into it, I remember when I was documenting the whole process of making friends here, I was like, it's like dating, but worse because you're not going to, like, well, it's worse because it's based on personality. So if you don't, it's like you can meet a guy. Well, yeah, because you can meet a guy.
It's dating, but better.
Well, because when you meet a guy and you're like, I don't like your personality, but I'll make out with you. When you meet a person, you're like, I don't like your personality. That's so much harsher.
More hurtful, I guess.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, like this person didn't think.
It's so funny. I've never thought about that.
It's true. It's like dating, but like if they don't like you, there's something like it's fully about you.
No, but it's about them. It's about friend chemistry.
I know. But if a man doesn't like you, you can be just like,
say it's 'cause he doesn't think I'm hot.
Or you could be like, oh, he has issues to work on or whatever. Penis. Yeah. Like there's so many other things. But yeah, I think you have to put a lot of work into it.
What's a dream guest you'd love to have on?
I think I know yours.
Wait, really?
I'm kidding.
Oh my God. So, you know, this morning, okay, this is so dramatic, but I like cried listening to that episode of the Amy Poehler and Ina Garten podcast. And I was thinking, how sad is it that I don't live in the lifeline where I can be friends with her?
I think she'd be friends with you. I think she would.
Gonna get out of that?
I don't know.
That's hard.
She loves coming to Paris. Ina Garten
would be my dream guest. She like lives in the six. Well, she has an apartment in the six.
Yeah. I think she would be friends with you.
Yeah. I also really like David Leibowitz, I'll say. Do you know my parents are fans of David Leibowitz?
Wait, let's get him on the pod.
I think he's so
cool. We have friends that are friends with him.
And my parents are like, you know what? Apparently I was at home. My parents are like, this is a David Leibowitz recipe. I was like, how do you, like they lived here 35 years
I do want to get his new book.
Yeah.
Or I think newish or like.
I really like his way he uses Instagram too.
Yeah.
Like I find it to be really like, I hate it. It's organic. But like he'll just post a sandwich he had that he really liked.
Yeah.
And I really like the way he uses it.
He has
it.
A good Substack too.
Okay, I really need to read more.
Yeah.
I have read a couple of different issues, but I really like his
type. I like any food person would
That's
be welcome.
You would have on, yeah.
I would love to have Tina Fey or Amy Poehler.
Oh my God.
And or
Dream Big.
The Olsen twins. I would love to have the Olsen.
Can you imagine
twins.
That get?
And exclusive.
Even putting it the Olsen.
So tell us what dating us are
close listeners. Was barely an animal.
Was it Sarkozy that she dated? The brother of Sarkozy?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's a connection.
There's a connection.
Anyway.
I mean, if the connection of Passport to Paris isn't enough, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Exclusive.
What's your ideal perfect day in Paris?
Oh my
Ooh,
God.
That's fun.
Whoa, that's a really good question. Okay. So weather, something like today, where it's sunny but chilly, so you have to wear a coat, but it's still really nice when you're in the sun. So that kind of weather, you wake up, you open your blinds, it's sunny, miracle, because it's never really sunny in Paris.
I almost bawled this morning. There was sun when I woke up.
But then it's like sunny, but you get out and you're like, ooh, it's still chilly. Let me put my jacket on.
So you like the chilliness.
I like wearing like.
I want like this. I want a light jacket.
No, I like a sweater and a jacket situation. Because then you can always like be in the sun and take your jacket off.
Sure.
So sunny but chilly, and then you maybe go to your local boulangerie, get a croissant or something delicious, a coffee, good coffee shop. You walk around, maybe go to the sun or a nice park. Then you go to like meet friends at a brasserie or somewhere that's like good and cheap.
Yeah. Okay.
And ideally somewhere that's good and cheap that no one knows about. And you're like, wow, this place is great. We need to come back here.
Okay.
And you only spend 25 euros and you have unlimited amounts of food and drinks.
Okay. Okay. I can see this. I'm gonna close my eyes.
And then you're walking back home and you run into like an antique market and you find that thing that you've been looking for, but it's like 90% off. And you buy it. You're like, amazing find. This is great. You get home. Maybe you take a nap. Maybe you don't. Maybe you watch some TV. Mm-hmm. You couch out for a couple hours. And then you meet friends at this new hipster restaurant that's impossible to get a reservation, but your friend somehow got a reservation. And then you realize the chef is from New York, is a great guy. You have a lot in common. He sends out free appetizers. And then you just like have great conversation with your friends or a couple of bottles of wine. And when the bill comes, it's 60 euros a person, even though you had so much food and so many drinks and you had like a million appetizers, shared seven desserts and unlimited. You basically got one of each from the menu. And then you walk home and the Eiffel Tower has a little sparkly thing. You're like, oh, wow, I live here. That's so cool. And then you get home and it's 12:30 and you're like in bed.
12:30 in bed. Okay.
That would be my perfect day.
So you're not doing 2:30 a.m. lighting shots on a fire.
No. I mean, that's the perfect day for someone else, not for me. Yeah.
I love that. Do you know, like, what are a couple of the appetizers that would make you happy? Or what genre is the restaurant? I know you said cool New York, but is it like...
Maybe it's like French classics with a twist.
Okay, French classics with
a twist. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then maybe when you're going home, a good friend texts you, hey, want to get a nightcap? And you go to like this cool bar that you'd never heard about.
Cool.
And
totally see that.
Yeah.
Just like a quick one. Like the tiramisu one that Paul goes to with the foam. Do they still do that?
Oh, they haven't. They changed that menu, unfortunately. Yeah, that was so good.
I used to know this place that would make Negronis with foam on the top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that place. Yeah, I think he still does it. Yeah. He was great. Okay, so what's your perfect day?
Man, you're so good. I don't know. I'm like overwhelmed. I don't know. Yeah. Wake up. I like to, like, in theory, I'd be waking up early.
Right.
And I'd be walking around the streets.
Right.
When it's really, really, really quiet and watching them start to set up the markets. I love that. Like, when all the, like, shop vendors are coming out. Yeah. The bakeries have, like, already been baking for hours. So, like, the streets smell like bread. The street cleaners have just finished. Yeah. So they're, like, just wrapping up. I love that feeling early morning. Specifically, I love Rue Claire in the 7th.
Okay.
I know that's, like, bougie, but I love that street because there's no cars. It's, like... My dream would be like I go for a really long walk, then I like wind up on one of those streets, something like Rue Claire, somewhere with no cars, Mouffetard maybe. I go to a terrace and I want to go to an old school terrace.
Okay.
And I get a mediocre cappuccino. It's totally okay. Normal milk and a tartine because I love to get like a tartine. So it's like just a slice of bread with butter and jam.
Yeah.
And I sit there for 2 hours with a book and I maybe get a second cappuccino if I'm being really bold.
Okay.
And then... This is where it gets hard. I would say then I would wander over to an open market.
Okay.
I love Bastille. I also love the one on the 20th, which is basically the name of right now.
It's not Belleville? No.
No. It's like by Bastille, but in the 20th.
Okay.
It's open every day of the week except for Monday. And I would cheese shop.
Okay.
I'd get some cheese at the market. Yeah, and then I would get poulet roti with the potatoes.
Love.
And then I would go to a park. Okay. And it would be sunny. And this would be the stage where like... all jackets off. Like they're so hot that you're like, I'm like, I could slip down to my tank top.
Yeah.
Get a bottle of wine. And of course, fresh baguette.
The chicken and the potatoes?
The chicken, the potatoes and the cheese.
Okay.
And of course, fresh baguette.
Right.
Then, and want to just look around. I treat that like a museum.
Mm-hmm. Where?
That's a good question.
Someone's house? Your house?
No. I want to be
the park.
I want to be one of those like annoying terraces where you just like stare at people.
Okay. No. Like every Parisian place.
Yeah, it's like annoying terraces where you just like stare at people.
Okay, like every Parisian place.
And I want like a lot of Aperol. And then I would, we have multiple appetizers.
Okay.
We have dessert, we do cheese course, and we do everything. But
Traditional French. Okay.
DJ Steve. I want the waiter to be a little bit snarky.
Love.
And then I agree with you. Run into a friend. There's a bar on the corner. Let's get a nightcap.
Love.
Pretty simple.
Very simple.
Hey, you little Clasherinos. This is your vocal fry queen coming to you from Roma. I just wanted to drop in to say, such a bummer, but we did lose the last 5 minutes of audio here due to just like a quirky little stewed glitch that we will investigate more closely upon my rearrival from Rome. But rest assured, we did discuss things like our late night snacks, see kebab, and I think Danny squeezed in another reality TV reference. So don't worry about that if you were. We love you so much, and I'm just going to put the last little clip of audio that I was able to salvage, but hopefully this is just kind of like a cheeky BTS sitch, and you feel closer to us now. Love you.
Hopefully it's interesting, and if it is, let us know, and if it isn't, let us know.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
This was Clashes,
a podcast brought to you by two idiots.
Clearly.
I don't know if I can laugh on cue.